may be seated. We're going to be reading two scriptures today that tie together and have similar images. The first one I will read to you at this time is from Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a stream planted by, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Another song that was dear to Geert and the family is, O Jesus, I Have Promised, a song of dedication. While you remain seated, let's lift our voices to sing that together. At this time, I'd like to invite Geert's daughter, Lisa, up to share with us some words of remembrance.
I totally love and respect my mom's wish that today we celebrate my dad's life here at what we know as Rehoboth Fellowship. Growing up in this church, we were taught Rehoboth means the Lord has made room for us. And today, in this open space, we can gather together and fellowship with one another as we remember my dad. This is the building where my mom and dad were married almost 51 years ago. Bert and I were baptized, grew up, where we publicly professed our faith, where Darren and I were married, and where Mom and Dad worshipped up until this point, because now Dad is rejoicing in heaven with Jesus. Fellowship is an excellent word to associate with my dad. As my family reminisced, looking back at many photos that included Dad, most are of him enjoying a cup of coffee, a meal, during a time of fellowship. Because my parents immigrated from Holland to Canada without any other family members, this space represented where the Lord had made room for my dad to have an extended family of friends and fellowship. Whether my dad was at church, at Sherway, Tim Hortons, close to home in Alderwood, or far away on the beach at a tropical resort in the Caribbean, Dad had a wonderful ability to strike up a conversation with anybody. He had a wonderful sense of humor, and he loved to engage anyone with some friendly teasing or a joke. I know these were the characteristics that most people admired in my dad, and why we think it's important for you today to stay after the service and enjoy some laughter and conversation. If having a cup of coffee, some dessert, or even a treat of a peppermint he may have passed out to you while he was ushering doesn't remind you of my dad, then the best next image, I would say, is a garden. Even though my dad was a printer by profession, his true calling was as a husband, father, and a gardener. Dad's goal in life was never to climb a corporate ladder or seek professional praise, but to be finished his day at the printing presses, leave it behind, and do his true work in raising and growing a family. Dad loved and cherished my mom, his children, and eventually his grandchildren with his whole heart. Dad was an especially attentive opa to his three grandchildren. In his very firm, yet fair and consistent way, he was always making sure we were all loved and cared for, teased enough to add some laughter, and making sure it was clear that he loved to tell the story and pass on the knowledge of God's mighty works to the next generation, and then get to his garden. Whenever possible, Dad was in his garden. He spent hours weeding, watering, and nurturing. Although Dad was thrifty and always worked with a budget, watering his garden was not an expense he would sacrifice. If you were to drive by his home, you couldn't help but notice the contrasting strip of green trees, huge fruitful apple trees, a lush lawn, vibrant vegetation, and fabulous flowers enhancing the property. This is the picture that Jeremiah paints when he says that those who trust in the Lord are like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. I am thankful today that God will ultimately make all things right. It is well with my soul. Trusting that he will turn our pain into gain and use suffering to mature and empower us to become fruit bearers in a dry and thirsty land. I have to add here, too, that if anyone ever complimented my dad on the work he did in his garden, he would correct them and say, "You mean, isn't it amazing what God can do with a seed? I'm just a steward of the seeds." Dad often adhered to the idea that less is more, I appreciated that my dad always expressed that he was content and didn't need more. His philosophy was, once you need less, you'll have more. Dad loved the simplicity of singing a traditional hymn, and Bert and I are very thankful that one of the ways Dad loved to profess his faith was through song. Growing up, our family tradition was to eat dinner together, usually consisting of green beans from his garden, do a devotional reading, and then crack open our copy of the Psalter hymnal, and we would sing the hymns that our parents taught us. We want today to reflect that this was one of Dad's passions. So we're happy to sing a number of his favorites during this service. Like a firmly rooted tree, people who rely on God have a sense of stability and vitality despite the worst circumstances. And we want to sing today in a way that shows where our roots are, because we're rooted in Jesus, and we can testify to this truth. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. My mom, Bert, Darren, Micah, Claire, Sophia, and I are very grateful that we had a role model like my dad. We were blessed to have him as a firmly rooted, stable, vibrant tree that we can remember him with this imagery. While we're here at Rehoboth Fellowship this afternoon, let's celebrate that the Lord has made room for Dad in heaven, which I believe is going to look just like the Garden of Eden, and that Dad can be there with him now.
Let me lead you in such a prayer of thanksgiving. And when I indicate it, we will together use the words of the Lord's Prayer, which are printed in your program. Loving God, we thank you for the life and legacy of Geert Molman. Thank you for leading him through his life during his childhood in the Netherlands, during the World War II occupation in the Netherlands, through immigration to Canada in his marriage for over 50 years, and being a grandfather, father, neighbor, husband, church member, colleague, and lifelong friend. Thank you for the ways in which his life reflected your life-giving ways. Thank you for his voice and the way he loved to sing. Thank you for his desire to put you and others first in his life, rather than a career or advancement. Thank you for his garden and his passion to make things beautiful. Thank you for the ways he chose to serve in the background, but also as a lead usher and greeter. As we celebrate and give thanks, Lord, we also remember to express our own dependence on you in prayer, praying together the words that our Lord taught us that we call the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's rise as we sing a song that also characterized Geert's life. I love to tell the story. And then please stay standing as we'll join our hearts in our declaration of faith. For us to join our mouths and hearts together in proclaiming a summary of that old story. It's found in the Apostles' Creed inside of your bulletin. And you might want to follow there in case the words are a little different than what you know by heart. So let's declare together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. going to turn now to the other scripture, which is actually written also on the front of the program, and you will hear resonances with the Psalm 1 passage. But let's first join our hearts in prayer before we open God's word. Dear God, we thank you that your word is living and active. Sharper than a double-edged sword, it can cut us to the heart. We pray that as our hearts are tender in this gathering, that you will open our ears and our hearts to hear your word, that it may be truth for us by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends its roots down by the stream, that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. This is the word of the Lord. Herr, Lisa, Darren, Micah and Claire, Jeremy, Bert and Sophia, and other family members. And friends, church family, whether you're acquaintances or neighbors or colleagues. My relationship with Geert wasn't very long. Not like many of you who had known him for a long time, I'd only been his pastor for a year and a half. But I do remember meeting him when I had first arrived, and he was cheerful, he was welcoming, he was glad that I had come to help out this church for a while, and that's how I remember him that whole first year, faithful in attendance, cheerful, active, reaching out to talk to others, and happy to come to church to meet with his friends as well. And then came his diagnosis, and another chapter in his life began, and also another chapter for those who loved him. We didn't know how challenging it was going to be at the time. In fact, some of us at church knew little about what was happening at 96 Delma Drive, although Geert was noticeable by his absence. But hearing little, of course, was the way Gary, his English name, wanted it. He didn't want to be the center of attention. And I went to visit, and he had lots to talk about, many stories. We talked about immigration, we talked about starting out here, we talked about family, we talked about his garden. And he showed me the beautiful quilt that had been made by some women in another church, quilts that they make as messages of comfort and support for cancer patients. It had just arrived, and he was very touched by that gesture. And then he had surgery and recovery time, and then weeks of radiation from which he never really recovered. And here we are. And I've heard many good things as testimonies of his life. Though I may know them only by hearsay, many of you here know them in actuality and remember him by them or for them. And Lisa has shared many of them with us beautifully. But this sermon is not about Geert, because he would not have wanted it to be about himself. He wasn't living for himself. He wasn't living for the here and now. And although he cared for people and things here on earth, there was another reality that was the true reality for Geert. You could say his life was like a signpost. Just as I didn't know the story about the seeds or the gardener and how he would deflect that to God, his life too was a deflection towards God, pointing to God. The family asked me to reflect on one of his passions, gardening. Flowers, trees, color, beauty, creating, planting, tending, nurturing, pruning, watering. There are a lot of aspects to gardening as metaphors for our lives, maybe especially our spiritual life. And as Lisa referred to, the Bible begins in a garden. It's a place of beauty and harmony where God, people, creation are all living out as they should in a blessed state with each other. And you know, the first job that God gave a human being was gardening, was tending to what was there, so that God could continue to drop by and say, that is good. That is good. Oh, that is very good. But in the Christian narrative, perfection comes to an end when humans want more. And it shows that wanting more is not always better, because the more knowledge that they desired, the knowledge for good and evil, it came into the world as sin, as brokenness and disease and grubs and cancer and mosquitoes and invasive weeds. Destructive things that disturb gardens and break God's desired shalom. And yet, as Geert's life showed, there is in humans a desire to go back, to recapture, to order and to cultivate and create explosions of beauty and joy, to fight against brokenness, and to look back on one's work at the end of the day and say, this is good. This is very good. It's a God thing, this creative impulse. And it's not just gardens generally that feature in the Bible, but people too are often referred to as growing things. Both Psalm 1 and Jeremiah 17 give us this image of the faithful person as a tree. And the person is described as blessed in both texts. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose delight is in the Lord, or who follows God's ways. These are the people who, from God's perspective, succeed in life. Probably not in worldly terms of acquiring money or power or prestige, but in terms of having a life that has substance, living a life God's way, even when it's countercultural. In both texts, these people, these trees, are planted by the water. That's important, because they're not just some wild seed that blew around and accidentally ended up in such a prime location, but they are deliberately planted by the irrigation canals, by God. It's God who does the planting, God who leads and directs, God who guards and protects. And it's therefore God who ensures that such people thrive. These are images of people thriving because they are in exactly the right place. They have excellent conditions to meet their specific needs. And I'm sure that Geert too was such a planter. To garden well, you need to scope out your terrain. You need to know where it's sunny and where it's shady, where it's dry and where it's damp, where the soil is kind of sandy or rocky and where it's rich. And then you need to set the right kind of plant in exactly the right kind of place so that they can get what they need and thrive. It's a God thing. Now, to understand the significance of the tree, why is this person signified as a tree, you have to get some sense of the geographical context of the biblical land. Sand, gravel, rock, dusty, dry, dry, dry. And if you would see any kind of greenery or color, you would know that there had to be a source of water involved. And water was precious in a dry land. Water meant growth and flourishing. God is the water. His people who live near him are green. Trees that are firmly and deeply rooted in God are not troubled, it says, when heat or drought happen. They're not easily swayed. They're not easily shaken. And when they encounter trouble or adversity, there's something strong about them, even if they grieve, because their confidence doesn't come from themselves or how well they do or don't do. It doesn't even depend on what others think about them, rightly or wrongly, because their roots go deep, deep down into the water, God's living water. And they can always draw up strength from God. Their well-being depends on God. And God is faithful. God is true. Even when we have questions about life, about faith, about God, as Geert did too, God is a faithful gardener, tending, near, caring. Even when we encounter unexpected changes or uprooting or pruning, God is a faithful gardener, tending, near, and caring. And even when we break peace by sinning against ourselves or others and God, and we break the beauty of shalom, as we all do, as Geert did too, God is a faithful gardener, tending, near, and caring. Because you see, there's another famous garden in Scripture too, the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus, whose birth we celebrate again soon, was in anguish. He was agonizing and struggling and praying and wondering if there was some way for his work on earth to be accomplished that would be other than what he saw ahead of him. But in the end, he said, "Not my will, Father, but yours." And Jesus was separated from God so that we need not be. And Jesus made the way open for humans to be at peace again with God. And so Geert had surgery, recovery time, weeks of radiation from which he never recovered. Until finally, Her and the family gathered around on Monday and released him into the care of his heavenly Father, the good gardener. They held hands and prayed and sang and said, "It's okay now. You can go now." Not because they wanted to be without him, but because his being here in that condition was so painful to himself and for others who loved him to see and experience, and there was no other remedy. And in that mysterious way that we don't really understand, Geert's breath stopped and his hold on this life was gone. But we believe that that is not the end of the story. Because of our Christian hope, we believe that Geert's eternal life is not over, but is ongoing. And that's why we can sing songs of future hope and hope today. Because there's one more garden. It's pictured at the end of Scripture, at the end of time, when the new Jerusalem, the kingdom of God, comes down to earth. And we get this picture. Then the angel showed me the river of life, the river of the water of life, same image, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of that tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night, and you can substitute there any bad or evil thing that we experience. And they will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. A river of life, fruitful trees, leaves of healing and restoration. Don't you long for that too? In the brokenness of this world? No more curse. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. And in the meantime, we live, we work, we love, we weep, and we garden and tend and care and nurture. It's a God thing. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that you are near us. And that in a time like this, we feel the thinness between the world and heaven, and we sense your angels and your power. Thank you that you love the people you have made. And we pray, Lord, for every person here, that they may feel the stirring of your Spirit and receive from you a comfort and a peace that passes understanding, for there is no other way but with you and through Jesus to receive that kind of peace and strength and faithful, blessed life of flourishing. Lord, with your Son Jesus, we surrender to you and ask that you bless us as we seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song again, and I'd invite you to remain seated for this song. Guide me, O my great Jehovah. fitting for us to have a prayer that also involves handing over symbolically Geert's life to our Lord. So let me lead you in prayer. Lord Jesus, our saddened hearts wait for your comfort and peace. Death is our enemy, and we do not accept it easily. We are reluctant to surrender our brother, our loved one, our friend, to the place you have prepared for him. You know our sorrow, Lord. You understand our tears, for you too wept at the death of a friend. May the Holy Spirit, the Comforter you promised, testify in our hearts to your loving presence. And may we look forward with glad hearts to that happy reunion and joyful feast, when all your people will be gathered into your kingdom to live with you in peace and joy forever. And now, into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant, Geert Molman. Acknowledge, we humbly pray, a sheep of your own flock, a lamb of your own fold, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him in the arms of your mercy into the blessed rest of eternal peace and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. I would invite you to rise for our closing words and closing song. Friends in Christ, although we do grieve, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. And so receive this blessing from God, and now may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, Amen. Let's sing a fitting closing song, God Be With You Till We Meet Again, and then wait until the family exits, please, to recess out and join for fellowship in the church hall.
we meet.